That's coming up tonight. We've also got more coming your way here on World Football Daily. Delighted to say, well, we were chatting all things Dutch football. We've gone ready, got set. We've got another guest lined up for today. That's right, double whammy of top-class football punditry to join us here on WFD today. And he's a man who's very busy, limited time with this guy, but I do love chatting all things French football with him. He's a commentator and writer for all things Liga. Ladies and gentlemen, well, May I welcome you to the show, Mr. Matt Spiro, joining us here on World Football Daily. Matt, how have you been? Another long period of time without having you on the show, mate, and another long summer. Hope you're keeping well. How are you, mate?
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm very well. I'm very well. I'm pretty busy at the moment. We've had the Champions Trophy in France last weekend, and the season starting this weekend, so it's all go at the moment. Plenty to talk about as well.
And it's not like you've had a quiet summer either, with the likes of Monaco and PSG still splashing a bit of cash around this summer as well.
Yeah, I think PSG are not finished yet. Monaco may sign another player as well. So it's been unbelievable. There's been more spending in France than anywhere else. About 150 million euros from PSG, I think it's 105 from PSG and 150 from Monaco. Huge amount of talent. It's incredible to think we've got Cavani, Falcao, and Ibrahimovic all playing in Ligue 1. You wouldn't have believed that a couple of years ago.
I think that would buy about one Gareth Bale at the moment, the amount of spending that's gone on in France this summer. I guess the losers, really, in terms of this big spending spree still with PSG and Monaco is Lille. They've lost Dimitri Payet to Marseille. And they've lost Lucas Digne as well to PSG. They've not been able to counteract with any big purchases of their own this summer.
No, they're in trouble. They're in trouble financially, to be honest, because they've moved into this new stadium that they're still financing. They've failed to qualify not just for the Champions League but for Europe altogether. So they're in trouble. You mentioned those names of players who have gone. We're talking about Kalou as well, possibly leaving just because he's a. He's a big salary, and West Ham have been linked with him. I think René Girard, the new coach, is keen to keep him, but like I say, the finances in the club are not good, so they may have to sell him. And the other problem they've got at the moment is that their very, very exciting new signing, Florian Thauvin, who they bought in January and then loaned back to Bastia, he is basically desperate to get out. He hasn't actually played for the club yet, but Marseille have made it very clear that they're keen to sign him. They've been a little bit cheeky talking with his agents and trying to turn Thauvin's head. Lille are saying there's no way he's leaving, but it's not a happy place, Lille, at the moment, because they've got Thauvin, but he wants out. And like you say, Dimitri Payet, probably their best player last season, has joined Marseille. So it's going to be a tough season for Lille, no question.
Is Lille one of those clubs that really is the sad story of when the glitz and the glamour starts to come into a league, and that extra bit of money starts to come in, and everybody starts seeing dollar signs in their eyes, and a few teams maybe misjudge it slightly?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Lille, a little bit like Lyon, are trying to follow the Arsenal model, the self-sustainable model. What Arsenal have done, and Lyon as well, is they've managed to keep on qualifying for the Champions League. And, that makes a massive difference. Lille have done things the right way in the last 10 years. They've built their training ground. They've got an excellent academy, and they've built from the bottom up. And hopefully, from their point of view, their structure is good enough to, solid enough that this is just a blip in the long-term project. But, they were looking to attract all the supporters from that area in northern France. Problem is, a lot of people are travelling further now to see Paris Saint-Germain, and they've got their local rivals, Lens, who admittedly are in the second division, but they've got investors now. They're the favourites to go up, and they're a big club, Lens. So, that's a potential problem for Lille, trying to fill that 50,000 stadium. But, I don't know. I think we are seeing positive effects as well of the money being invested by PSG and Monaco, even if a lot of it is going to clubs in Italy, for example. But what is interesting is you're seeing a club like Marseille having to try hard to raise the bar by signing sort of lesser known players but very talented players. They're focusing on the domestic market. I mean, you mentioned Dimitri Payet, who Marseille have managed to sign. They've signed a few more players, and there's strong rumours, strong reports today that they're getting Khalifa as well from Evian Tonon-Gaia. So they're putting together a strong squad, and I think they're going to be competitive with Monaco and PSG.
How important for French football is it that Monaco and PSG don't start to run away with this? That those sides like Marseille, like you mentioned, who you say will be competitive next season, maybe like Montpellier that we saw the year before last as well, are able to still battle out with these sides with money just to keep the league competitive and stop it from becoming like maybe La Liga in Spain?
Well, it is important, but realistically, in the next 2 or 3 years, it's going to be difficult. I mean, maybe Marseille this year. You know, I fancy them at least to trouble Monaco. I think PSG are going to prove too strong. But you've got to say, in the next 2 or 3 years, the league is going to be dominated by PSG and Monaco. I think, you know, it's you know, in an ideal world, you have more than two teams competing for the title. But I think it's better to have two very, very strong teams than none at all, and to have 20 teams that are much of a muchness and everybody fight. You know, it's better to have at least a bit of strength at the top of the table. And I think in the long term, if we're looking a bit further ahead, sort of 4 or 5 years, and then you've got, you know, Marseille's new stadium will be ready in a year, Lyon's in 2 or 3 years, and Bordeaux are moving into a new stadium, Saint-Étienne as well. So this is, you know, they're going to be in a stronger position in that time. And, you know, I think the overall benefits to Ligue 1 are going to be significant, even if it means that for the next 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 years, we're going to have to just accept the fact that the big bucks are going to do the talking and Monaco and PSG are going to dominate.
Let's talk about Monaco and PSG briefly, Matt, and especially PSG. There were all the rumours, especially coming out of Italy, that Verratti was going to be returning to Serie A potentially. They managed to actually wrap up a contract extension for the young Italian. With Ancelotti going and PSG being able to retain those big players that many feared would leave with Ancelotti's departure, this has been a successful off-season, not only bringing new talent in, but maintaining the squad from last year.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. It's something that people haven't talked about perhaps enough. The fact that it looked certain 2 or 3 weeks ago that Thiago Silva was going to go to Barcelona because Barca, you know, were making those noises. He's the priority, this, that and the other. PSG acted really quickly. They gave him a ridiculously big pay rise, but, you know, it's enough. It's been enough to keep him there and to keep him happy. And I think it's probably worth it insofar as, you know, he is such an important figure on the pitch. And if you're going to replace him, you know, he stabilises the whole defence. Thiago Silva is absolutely vital. We all thought that Zlatan might be off with Cavani going. Zlatan, it seems, is staying put. You mentioned Verratti, who isn't quite, you know, an automatic first choice, but is a ridiculously talented footballer. And everyone knows he sort of represents the future of PSG. And if they can keep him at the club for a good few years, then they're going to be in a strong position. So I think, okay, they've only bought 3 players and Monaco have bought 11 or 12 or some ridiculous number, but like you say, they've kept together the whole of that title winning squad, bar, you know, Kevin Gamero, who's left, and they'll be looking to offload one or two others, but their squad is incredibly strong.
And a squad as well that went very close to getting into those final stages of the Champions League and into the semi-finals after just missing out against Barcelona last season. Is there a priority, do you think, now for PSG and for the owners especially to go for Champions League football rather than to be thinking about Liga? Or with Monaco coming into the league, does it force PSG to keep a focus on Liga as well as going for Champions League success?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think Monaco's presence will sort of make PSG a little bit less comfortable. Perhaps if Monaco weren't there, then they would have been in a position to focus more on the Champions League. I think the focus is slowly going to shift towards the Champions League. They're still saying, oh, maybe in 2 or 3 years we could win the Champions League. But I think realistically, although they won't be saying it, they'll feel they've got an outside chance of doing it already. Like you said, they were very, very close to knocking Barcelona out and reaching the semi-finals last season. And I think they'll be in the latter stages again this time around. And they've got a big enough squad, let's face it, to be able to sort of rotate quite a lot in Ligue 1. Because while Monaco will probably be a rival, Marseille as well, you know, if on a Saturday before a Champions League game they're playing, I don't know, Stade de Reims or Guingamp, then, you know, the PSG reserves should be able to beat that sort of team. So you've got a situation a little bit like in Spain where Real Madrid and Barcelona have got you know, a lot of room to play with in terms of team selection.
And just finally, with the season starting this weekend, and Monaco, as you said, buying 11 or so players this summer, spending a lot of money, James Rodriguez, Yao Moutinho, Falcao, have they done enough to immediately be able to push PSG for a league title? Or are we going to see, as we saw with PSG in that first season of having a load of money, that it's going to be maybe a little lag period of time, and Monaco, in a year's time after this season, will be able to push PSG for the French title?
Well, you never know. They've looked pretty irresistible in a few of the warm-up matches. They put 5 goals past Tottenham. I think going forward, they're going to be very, very difficult to stop. João Moutinho is looking wonderful. And if he strikes up an understanding with Falcao, who he's already played with at Porto, you know, they could be very difficult to stop. My feeling, and the feeling of a lot of people out here, is that it's all happening a bit too quickly. And defensively, they may ship one or two too many goals. Abidal and Carvalho at the back. I think Carvalho will probably be okay. Abidal's a bit of an unknown just because he hasn't really played top-level football in a long time. But, you know, the two of them now in the latter stages of their career. I can see Monaco dropping too many points. And my concern for them would be that if things don't go brilliantly in the first couple of months, Ranieri is going to be under huge pressure because he's not necessarily got the total confidence of the Russian owner. And, you know, a couple of defeats for Monaco early on. And I think Ranieri could be shown the door, and then they've, you know, got to start again. So I think that's the concern as far as Monaco are concerned.
It's going to be a very interesting season in France, Matt, especially with the extra money coming in from Monaco and that trickle-down effect as well. And we look forward very much to catching up with you later throughout the year. But for now, enjoy the first weekend of the season, mate.
I will do.
We're all very jealous, and we'll let you get away for now, though. For today, though, Matt, appreciate you coming on the show and taking the time to join us.
Thank you for having me. Cheers.
Pleasure as always. Matt Spiro there joining us on World Football Daily to talk all things French football as the Ligue 1 season gets set to get underway this week. Big start, of course, in France. Montpellier taking PSG on Friday night. The champions and the runners-up from a year ago.